This is ESPN 103.7 Lafayette and 104.1 Lake Charles, Southwest Louisiana's sports station.
That's right. Can you dig it?
It's time for 2 hours of the best sports talk on the airwaves.
Can you dig it?
The Jordy Holtberg Show with your host, the Blonde Bomber himself.
Can you dig it?
Jordy Holtberg.
Good afternoon and welcome. How are you? Hope you're having a great, great day. We are on the road as I follow the three amigos of RP3, D'Lo, and Mesh, and we are continuing the journey today at Pluckers, where if you don't like our wings, we give you the bird. Please, we're on TV. Don't do that. Jordy Holtberg here, James Mesh, joining me for a brief moment here on this Tuesday, April 16th, the year 2024. Hope you're having a great day. LSU-UNO baseball across the street, a little bit further down the road. LSU and UL Lafayette softball, which ought to be a humdinger. We've got the Pels and the Lakers. Oh, my. Can Zion, who said he's going to come out and be more aggressive tonight. He couldn't be any less aggressive than he was on Sunday. And we'll see how that all unfolds. So you're going to be here with us for a little bit, and I appreciate that. So you can go get your wings.
Oh, absolutely.
And you got to do the holy macaroni, because I'm telling you, that is the best. And this is one of the top wing bars in all of the country. And we're thrilled that they're having us here today as we look around and do a little LSU baseball, LSU softball here on campus, which has changed a whole heck of a lot since I got here back in 1976, James.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I was not alive at that point.
I know you weren't. You were not even a figment of your parents' imagination at that point.
No, we were 24 years to that point.
Yes. So anyway. All right. You always present a poll question. So now that I've got you here, I'll let you read this thing, and then I'll let you vamoose and do your thing over there before Raymond eats them all. I'm just teasing. So what is our poll question of the day?
Well, it's actually pretty centric towards a matchup that comes up tonight on the diamond, but on the softball side of it
that the circle, don't they? They don't call it a diamond, do they?
Sometimes it just kind of depends on the person.
They meet on the circle, not the pitcher's diamond amount. Anyway, okay, so what do we have?
Yeah, so basically, who do you think is going to win tonight? Do you think it's going to be Beth Tarina's LSU Tigers, or are you going to be going with Jerry Glasgow's Louisiana Raging Cajuns? And early on in the votes, we've kind of gone back and forth. Early on, it was half and half. But right now, LSU is leading the vote at 56%, which, of course, if you're doing math, means the Cajuns are at 44%.
Very good.
And then also, we did get a comment. Ton, he had said, I'm hoping the Tigers, but I'm going to be picking the Cajuns.
Okay. I think two really, really good teams. The Cajuns struggled early, got that big win over Oklahoma, and now they're rolling through their the conference play.
LSU, as they usually do.
LSU with a great start. Now they get into the throes of SEC play, and just like in baseball, there's so many good teams in that conference. It's hard. So we'll see. So go to X. I still have a hard time saying that. Go to Facebook. Do whatever you do on your social media. And either pick the Tigers or the Cajuns in softball today. That's a 6 o'clock start?
Yes.
And it's LSU-UNO baseball is at 6:30.
Which you can hear on this station.
We have a ton of guests today. Yes, you can hear on this station. A ton of guests today. It's baseball-centric. I don't know if I can talk baseball for 2 hours. So I had to bring in the heavy guns. I got
absolutely.
The voice of Alec Box Stadium. Bill Frank is about to join us. A member of one of the more iconic scenes ever. The final pitch in the World Series and throwing the arms up, Doug Thompson, who got a big win for a World Series championship. Mikey Matuk, the St. Thomas More, LSU big leaguer, will join us in hour number two. And there have been two coaches that have won national championships in baseball for LSU. Skip Bertman won 5 of them. Paul Maneri won 1. old Paul will join us later on in the program as well. So that's what we have for you. Go ahead and eat. I've got to do some business here. Thank you, James, very, very much. You know, Pluckers wings and so, so much more. They've got a new sauce, a new flavor, and it's called Bregman's Creole Crush. And that, of course, is after Alex Bregman. So they put his name on there. You know, they used to have a deal at Fuddruckers back in the day. They had the Jordy Hult Burger. They really did. The Jordy Hult Burger. And it was a big hit. And then, you know, Fuddruckers, like anything else, it exceeded its course, and that was it. But I had that, so I understand how that all works. And there's always something going on. There's two locations here in Baton Rouge, here on Nicholson Drive on the LSU campus, outside the LSU campus, and one on Bluebonnet right by the Mall of Louisiana. There's sports trivia every Tuesday at 8:30, so tonight with host Hunt Palmer at this location. There's general trivia every Wednesday at 7:30 on Bluebonnet and 8 p.m. on Nicholson with a Taylor Swift theme this week. I would bomb out on both of those without question, without doubt. There are drink specials today. I didn't know there's a dollar off Mexican bottle beers and margaritas. Modelo, Dos Equis, whatever you want. Interactive NFL draft party next Thursday, April 25th. Drink and food specials for all 32 picks. We have MLB extra innings packages. We have fans. So fans of any MLB team can watch their favorite teams all season long. Besides baseball, besides softball, we've got basketball tonight inside the Smoothie King Center. Sunday, the Lakers just put it all over the Pelicans. I said it. Zion Williamson looked totally intimidated by LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Totally intimidated. Put that wall up in the lane with a guy on the dot, another guy on the right side elbow, another guy on the left side elbow, and they just said, what are you going to do? And Zion became very, very non-aggressive and was really a no factor. Now, he became a factor way too little, way too late in the third. But tonight is a different story. I think you'll see a re-energized club. I can't tell you how good LeBron James is. I cannot tell you how good he is when you see him in person. And see, he just said, look, guys, get on my back. I'm going to lead you guys, and we're going to win. We are going to win. And they certainly did. He is so good. But tonight's a different story. And the Pels with a win get the Denver Nuggets in the opening round of the playoffs. If they get a win tonight, if they lose, they'll host another game Friday against the Golden State and Sacramento winner. So I wish they would change this thing up. I think the first seven teams should be in. I think 8, 9, and 10. 9 should play 10. The winner of that game plays 8, and those are the teams that get in. That's just my thought. I wish they would change it up a little bit along those lines. But the NBA playoffs begin Saturday and Sunday. The play-in, Western Conference today, 2 games tonight. Pelicans at 6:30, and then against the Lakers. And then you've got the Warriors taking on the Sacramento Kings in the building where they light the up to the sky and all that fun stuff. And then tomorrow is the Eastern Conference play-in. So, Blanc is back in the master control suite inside the EVCO Development Studios. He's on the campus of Delta Media, where you'll find ESPN 103.7 Lafayette. Head west, you'll find ESPN 104.1 in Lake Charles, streaming all over the world thanks to our free mobile app, ESPNSouthwestLouisiana.com. When we return, the voice of Alec Box Stadium, Skip Bertman Field, he's been doing it for over 30 years. He's seen the best of times. He's seen the worst of times. He's seen all the times. Bill Franquez will join us after this timeout, live from Pluckers Wing Bar, Nicholson Drive, on the beautiful campus of LSU.
You're listening to ESPN 103.7 Lafayette and 104.1 Lake Charles, Southwest Louisiana's sports station. Your home for the Houston Astros.
The headsets.
There we go.
There we go.
Perfect.
Like I said, there we go.
All right.
All right. Good. Good to see you, man.
Nice to see you, Jordy.
Bill Farkas, for those that aren't watching us or just listening to us, Bill is dapper. He's got the beard working, very clean cut, and the longtime voice of Alec Box Stadium, the longtime sports information director for LSU Baseball. How did you – I don't want to talk baseball. I want to talk about you.
All right.
Bill Farkas is growing up. When did he decide, you know what, I want to get into sports information?
Wow. You know, it's a great question. I think you remember Paul Manasseh.
I do.
Paul Manasseh was the sports information director when you were at LSU as a men's basketball player, of course, under Coach Brown. And Paul Manasseh had been the SID at LSU since the late 60s.
Okay.
And I remember as a kid in life, growing up in Lafayette, driving to the game, football games with my dad, Paul Manasseh had a segment on the WJBO pregame show.
Okay. And I did not know that.
Yes. He had a little segment where he'd talk about LSU, talk about the opponent, give a scouting report. And I remember we were listening to the pregame on the way to here to Tiger Stadium from Lafayette. And WJBO, the announcer would say, now let's go to Paul Manasseh on the LSU campus. And you'd hear Paul Manasseh. This is Paul Manasseh, sports information director at LSU. And he was very deliberate, very measured in his remark, but extremely informative.
Sounds like somebody I know.
Yeah, well, maybe so.
Sounds like somebody I know.
So I remember thinking, what is a sports information director? I was probably about 10, 11 years old.
Uh-huh.
I remember thinking, what is a sports information director? So as I got older, as I came here to school at LSU, I learned more about athletics and the communications in athletics, and at the time, of course, it was called sports information.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Mr. Manasseh and how impressed I was by him. And then I later learned, of course, that he was very esteemed in his profession.
Yeah.
He was a groundbreaker in a lot of ways.
Right.
So when I became a student at LSU, I inquired about positions in sports information. And fortunately, a couple of gentlemen there at the time who were running the office, Jamie Kimbrough and Ed Atlas.
Yep.
Ed Atlas was the basketball SID.
Yes, yes.
And man, they were so great to me. I was just, they had no idea who I was. Mm-hmm. I just walked in off the street and they gave me an opportunity and they gave me a student job and it kind of flourished from there. And that was back in the mid 80s. Bill Arnsparger was the football
coach. That's right.
That was the first football coach I ever encountered was Coach Arnsparger. Needless to say, he was not the most personable guy, as I'm sure you know.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So, back then, there was no Skip Bertman. There was, and LSU baseball wasn't exactly the grandeur that it is today.
That's right.
So they came up to you one day and said, "Hey, Bill, we want you to be in charge of baseball." What was your initial reaction?
I was thrilled. By this time, Skip was here.
Okay.
By that time, I'd graduated. I dabbled in a couple of other career opportunities that didn't quite pan out.
Right.
So I found myself back applying. When Joe Dean became the athletics director here, I applied for the job as a full-time SID. Herb Vincent had just been hired by Mr. Dean as the head of the sports information office.
Right.
And Charles Bloom, had been the baseball SID, got an opportunity to work in the Southeastern Conference office.
Right.
So there was an opening for a full-time SID. So I interviewed Herb, I interviewed with Mr. Dean, and they hired me, and they said, "We'd like you to be the baseball SID."
How does that interview go? What do they ask you? How fast can you type?
I do remember Mr. Dean, because I was back then, this is the mid to late 80s, three-piece suits were big back then.
Yeah.
And I had this, I think it was left over from my high school prom. But so I still had the navy blue three-piece suit. And I remember I walked in the athletics department's offices were in Tiger Stadium back in the day, on the north end of Tiger Stadium, in areas that used to be dorm rooms.
Right.
They converted into office suites.
Right.
And Mr. Dean had his office there on the second floor of the north end of Tiger Stadium. And I walked in my three-piece suit, and he said, "Bill, looking sharp. I like that suit." So I thought, all right, I'm
in good shape.
I'm looking good. And of course, Mr. Dean, of course, he was old school. He wanted everyone to wear a tie to work.
Right.
And so I had a good first impression.
Good.
And I think he mostly went on the recommendation of Herb Vincent, and Coach Burtman had met me by that time, and I think Coach Burtman said, "Yeah, well, sure, this kid's good, and we'll take." So Mr. Dean was he liked the way I dressed.
Did he take his shoes off and start polishing in front of
that.
You?
He did that
to me all the time.
Yeah, I've heard that
all
story.
The time.
Yeah, that was a common occurrence.
Yes.
That was a common occurrence.
Yes. And his fingernails, he was always doing something. So. You think of sports information, and you're putting out information to media people so that they can look and reference things as they're doing their stories. And then all of a sudden they say, well, you know what, we need somebody to Sid Crocker was the man back in Tiger Stadium, and they needed a voice for the old box and the new box. And how did that all come about?
So my first year as the baseball SID was the spring of 1989.
Mm-hmm.
And Herb Vincent, who I talked about, Herb had a lot of good ideas. Herb actually had worked in baseball as a student when Jack LeMabe was the head coach prior to Skip.
We have one thing in common. Yeah. We're both St. Louis Cardinals fans.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Herb and I are big Cardinals
fans. That's right. That's
anyway,
right.
All right, go ahead.
So when – you know, of course, back then, in Coach LeMabe's time, there was virtually no attendance at baseball. The joke was, students came there to do their homework because it was so quiet.
You know,
it was just parents and girlfriends.
And not many of those.
Right. Exactly. So Herb started, I give him credit for kind of starting the trend toward music and marketing at baseball. He made a bunch of cassette tapes with some of his favorite songs on it and started playing the music at the ballpark. And, of course, and then Herb left for a while. He worked at the SEC office for a while. And then he came back. So one of the things I did, although, SIDs don't really do this now. Now we have these giant marketing departments.
Right.
But I would go to Blockbuster Music and find all the music I could and make tapes. And that was one of the first things I did was try to enliven the atmosphere with the music
awesome.
At the box.
So, and Skip loved that.
Yes,
he loved it.
He did. So another idea that Herb had at the time, I know you're familiar with Richard Condon. It was and is a major media personality here in Baton Rouge. So Herb said, let's have a guy like Richard Condon be the PA announcer, and that'll even kind of, juice it up even
people
more.
Couldn't understand him, though.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
Right.
He's that Irish Channel accent.
And Richard was great. Richard was great. He had a very unique delivery, but maybe it didn't quite fit in the baseball environment.
Right.
So it so happened, as I recall, back in those days, you weren't limited to just playing 56 regular season games. You could play as many games as you wanted to.
Uh-huh.
So the regular season ended, and prior to the SEC tournament, there was a week break. So Skip said, I'll call Coach Kador.
We'll play games.
Yeah, we'll come over and play some games. Yeah. So Southern came over to play a doubleheader. Richard couldn't be there to do the games. So, I took over and did the PA for those games.
How nervous were you?
And, a little bit.
A little bit.
I was a little bit nervous. Yeah. I'd never done an event of that magnitude.
All right.
Even though it was still, LSU was in its infancy as far as being the megatron it is now. Mm-hmm. But, so it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. And then afterwards, Skip said, hey, listen, Billy,
you're good.
Got a good voice. So listen, you're going to do it from now on.
Yeah.
So, and we didn't have any more home games that year. So then starting the 1990 season, then that
was
took over.
With all the new equipment and everything, I can't imagine what your area must look like and all the responsibilities.
Yeah.
You got this guy has a walk-up song. You got to hit that. And I don't know how you do it.
Yeah. Well, back, and then as it evolved through the 90s and the 2000s, back then, Jordy, and for those who are familiar with the old-school radio stations, we had a giant rack of carts, cart tapes.
Yes.
And so I had all the sound effects on these cart tapes. And we had this old school PA system in the old box that had a cart machine.
Yeah.
So I was pulling carts in and out.
You must have been fatigued when the game was
Todd
over.
Todd Walker came to bat and pulled a Batman cart, the theme from Batman. And Russ Johnson came to bat, bad to the bone and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's kind of where it started. And then, of course, now it's
High tech.
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah, yeah. There are computer programs. There are laptops. There's all kind of machinery up in our booth, in the PA booth, which also houses the scoreboard and the video board. So there's a lot going on up there.
I love it. This is not the year that we expected at this point in time. But anything can. Anything can happen. There's still a lot of baseball left to go. So I'm not here to to down things, but these midweek games become important for a variety of things. One, you certainly want to get wins. You want to end a losing streak. But everybody realizes, we saw what happened with Southern University.
Yeah.
UNO wants to beat LSU,
absolutely.
But it's a chance to where maybe Jay can experiment a little bit and try to find, forget the analytics, and let's find players and let them go play.
Yeah, I think Jay has definitely adopted that philosophy, Jordy. He wants to find the nine guys who want to win the most.
Yes,
the guys who are hungry. The guys who want to perform at a high level.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what he's looking for. I think that's exactly what he's looking for. And he's always said it's a 56-game playoff. Every game is important.
Yeah.
But that's even more magnified now, given the position that LSU finds itself in.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. And then, you got to go on the road. And Missouri's got 5 wins. You've got 3. And it's like every week is a must win scenario, but we'll see. Not down too far down is Tiger Park.
I'm looking forward to that.
There's a matchup tonight between the Raging Cajuns and LSU, and two really, really always good softball programs. They really are.
Absolutely. Of course, as I said earlier, I grew up in Lafayette, so I'm familiar with what Yvette Girard did back at then USL at Southwestern Louisiana.
That's right.
She built that program literally from scratch, beginning in the mid-70s, and became one of the top programs in the country. And what the legacy that she created exists still today with the Cajuns, as we know. Of course, they came here last year and beat LSU in a regional. And then Yvette brought her UL legacy here to LSU.
That's right.
And established a certain standard of excellence.
Yeah.
And that Beth Tarina has continued here, and that this is right now, this is one of the best seasons Beth has had since early in her career here.
Yeah.
So we're hoping for great things from LSU, number 7 in the nation going into tonight's game. The Cajuns are number 25.
And they beat Oklahoma, which everybody thought was impossible. So you never know. Well, I miss, we used to do a TV show all for years called Tiger Tracks, and that went by the wayside of the dinosaur. But to full circle here, you mentioned listening to Paul Manasseh and how that influenced you. Maybe there's somebody out there listening now that's going, you know what, Bill Franquez is a good guy. He seems to be happy, enjoys what he's doing. So there's a kid out there going, what is sports information? What would you suggest to someone maybe who's in high school and wants to come to LSU? And what would you suggest they do to get into this field?
I would suggest if you're in high school right now, if your school has a newspaper, become a writer for your school newspaper.
There you go.
If your school, a lot of schools now today, of course, have radio and video capabilities. Mm-hmm. I would say take any journalism classes that are offered, take any creative writing or creative video classes that are offered. And then when you come to school, you can do what I did. You call the athletic department. Nowadays,
you
can text or email as well. Back then, it was
that's right.
The telephone.
That's right.
But I'd say that's, we have a lot of kids in our office now, Jordy, who start out as volunteers and then who work their way up perhaps into a full-time student role. And now there are many. There's a whole, really family tree of former LSU students in the athletics department who now work for NFL teams, and MLB teams, and the NBA. So just there's certainly a great opportunity.
Study English really well.
Yes.
And learn how to spell correctly and do all the things that you need to do. And he's the best. He's done it for forever and a day. And so when do you have to be over at the box to get things all under –
A lot of the work's already done. We've already prepared all our game notes and statistics and everything. Right. UNO has sent me their information, so we gather all that, make the number of copies, bring it over to the press box. So everything's pretty well set from a pregame standpoint. I'll probably get there about 4 o'clock or
4
o'clock. For a 6:30 first pitch, make sure the press box is set up and ready
to
roll.
You ever get tired of that press box food?
Occasionally,
be honest.
Occasionally.
It's only so many hot dogs.
Occasionally,
you
yes, exactly. I've definitely limited the hot dog intake over the years.
Bill Franquez, the voice of Alec Box Stadium, Skip Bertman Field, the longtime sports information director for LSU baseball, who did it the old-fashioned way, asked and did the work and climbed the ladder. And now he's at the top of his profession. I can't thank you enough, man. Good luck, and let's get a win tonight. How about
absolutely,
that?
Absolutely, Joy. Thank you so much. It was a lot of fun. Want to say hi to all the LSU fans in my hometown of Lafayette. We love you at LSU. So
we're in Lake Charles, too, so we're all over the place.
Exactly. LSU fans everywhere, and best wishes as well to the Cajuns and to the Cowboys. Great universities, and we love them in baseball.
See, that's why he's kept his job forever. He is politically correct.
Yes.
Bill, you're the best, man.
Thanks,
Thank
Jordy,
you so
I appreciate
much.
It.
We'll take a time out here when we come back. We'll try and get Doug Thompson from eating those delicious wings and come visit us for a minute here. Stay with us. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show from Pluckers Wings and Things and all kinds of stuff. My boys, I told them to get the holy macaroni. It's pretty good, right? Thumbs up across the board. Yes, indeed. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to ESPN 1037 Lafayette and 1041 Lake Charles, your home for the best local sports talk in Southwest Louisiana.
Hi, we are back live from Pluckers here on Nicholson Drive. As a lot of LSU baseball, softball going on. And can I see it one time? I know you hate it. Do it one time. Come
no,
on, one time.
Here
one time.
No,
one time.
Come
the most,
on.
One of those iconic
no way.
Advocate cover shots of the winning the World Series as the winning picture back in 1997. Doug Thompson joining us. The game tonight, LSU-UNO on our stations, 103.7 Lafayette, 104.1 in Lake Charles. You'll hear Chris Blair and Doug Thompson on the call. So you enjoying that gig? It's fun?
I do enjoy it. You know, we all have our hobbies to get away from the everyday stress, right?
Right, and, right.
The one thing about doing radio is once you put the headsets on, and do it for, you know, 10 years or so, your family, all your friends, everybody knows, like, he's out. So it kind of forces you to focus on the game, which is awesome for me. I love baseball. But the reason I keep doing it, honestly, I took the job thinking about my boys. I have three boys.
All right.
And today they love it. I mean, they don't all get
That's
to
awesome.
Come with me every day, but I get to bring one here or there.
Yeah.
And to have them over my shoulder watching a game at the box.
Pretty
I mean,
good
what dad doesn't like that.
Pretty
right?
good so seat. Pretty good seat,
That's
too.
Right. Yeah. I don't know that they would just go sit in regular seats with me if I had tickets to go to a game, but sitting up there makes it certainly more doable for them, and we've had a lot of good memories, even in Omaha. I've had my two older sons with me in Omaha.
I mentioned World Series champion, but let's go back because there's kids listening and watching this thing. It wasn't always peaches and cream for you. You weren't the big high school superstar that everybody in the world wanted. You had to go Mississippi Gulf Coast Community College to earn your stripes a little bit.
I did. You know, it was a different time, right? There's no internet to start with.
That's right.
A lot of kids listen like, wait, what do you mean there was no internet? No cell phones, in fact, and you had to get your news by the newspaper or by watching the news on TV. And really, the Mississippi Gulf Coast is a great place for baseball, but at the time, there just wasn't a lot of recruiting attention.
Mm-hmm.
So I always wanted to go to LSU. The story is my grandfather was a police officer in Biloxi. I never met him. He's my namesake. He passed away before I was born. But if I didn't hear it once, I heard it, you know, a million times. A family would tell me my grandfather used to drive around his patrol car. And when he, back then they were listening on the radio, like there wasn't even a
That's
TV
right.
yet.
WWL.
And you know, when the Tigers would be creeping up on the goal line with you know, against Mississippi State, Southern Miss, or Ole Miss. He would be creeping his car into the driveway of a Southern Miss, Ole Miss, or Mississippi State fan. And when they would punch it across, he would cut the lights on and nah. And I heard
it.
That growing up my whole life.
I love it.
And
love
because
it.
Of that, I loved LSU, and I didn't have the opportunity out of high school. I went to a junior college 45 minutes north of my house because they were willing to let me play football as well. I started to kick and I started to kick a little
bit. Whoa, timeout.
Yeah, see, you said you did some homework.
I did some homework. I got something. I didn't do the homework on the kicking game. Mm-hmm. So, everybody has a limit. So what was Doug's limit?
Well,
Coach, I can make it from here. Five more yards, I can't.
Well, in high school, I kicked a 51-yarder.
Holy cow.
Which I was always a backup quarterback. And my junior year, our guy got hurt, and our offensive line coach.
You Wiley pipped him?
No, our offensive line coach was our head baseball coach, and he was very brute and honest with me, telling me I wasn't going to be a college quarterback, and he was right, and that we couldn't – actually, our starting quarterback was also our starting catcher. So he's a little bit gun-shy, and he basically banged it. And I went out to the pride. Of course, I'd been playing football all the way through middle school and high school program.
Right.
And I'm suddenly this guy without a position. And one of our shortstops was one of the kickers. And I walked across the field and told him, like, I can't believe it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't even know if I'm going to play. Like, why would I play and not really going to be going in? So I kicked a ball while I was standing over there, and I smoked this
ball.
And
the coach saw it.
I had played soccer growing up, and the coach was standing right there. He said, can you do that again? I was like, I don't know. And he put it back on the tee, and boom, I kicked it again. And I basically kicked ever since. And I went to junior college, and a funny story, it all ties together. Nicky Savoy.
Yes.
Was our quarterback.
Yeah. Big quarter. That's a big dude.
6 foot
for a
seven.
Quarterback.
Yep.
Yes.
And he was also my holder.
No way.
He was. And when I got to Gulf Coast, of course, we got to spend a lot of time together. And throughout the whole football season, he was telling me, dude, you got to tell the coach I can pitch. I can throw 90. And I'm like, I believe it, Nicky, but I can't. I'm a freshman. I can't tell the dude. You got to tell coach. I swear to God, I can pitch. And I'm like, Nicky, you're going to LSU. Yeah. You can't. They want you to leave in December. And he
football,
said,
football.
But what if I got drafted by the Braves? And he was serious. And I realized that. I went to the coach, and Nicky Savoy stayed at Mississippi Gulf Coast Community College. He was 6-0 with 10 saves that year for our team. And, of course, the night I came on my recruiting visit was the Bring Back the Magic game.
Oh, I was there. Yes.
LSU defeated Auburn.
I was doing those games on the radio.
That's right,
yes.
Jerry DiNardo.
Yep.
And if you go back and look, there was one touchdown scored in that game by?
Nicky Savoy.
Yeah. So, great of course, athlete. It was a great deal for me, and I was already coming to LSU regardless.
Gosh.
But, yes, I did have to go the JUCO route. And had a great time doing it.
Yeah.
And I tell kids,
you didn't give
all,
up your dream.
And you know, in today's transfer portal world, you got to pick your dream five schools, and that doesn't mean necessarily SEC. Kids know the caliber player there are. They know what kind of what they want to study. So you got to pick your five dream schools. And if you don't get those five to give you a commitment that you feel like you're going to play, you got to either do one of two things. Pick a mid-major school that you know you're going to go and play so you can transfer eventually to one of your dream schools or JUCO.
Yeah.
Like JUCO.
Nothing wrong with it.
No, absolutely not.
And, Delgado. There's a whole bunch.
Joe Sherman
LSU
at Delgado. There's,
holy cow.
Junior college is a great experience to keep playing. But if you go to junior college and you do your thing, you play wherever you want,
you.
Right?
Yeah,
they're looking for that, too, in that transfer portal. So, yeah.
I figured they were looking at you after – you remember playing against Bishop State of Alabama?
I do. I do.
You threw a perfect game?
I did, yeah.
You remember that moment? And what was that like?
You know, it's funny you asked that question, really, because that was the night, really, I knew that I could pitch at LSU. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
The ace of that team was a guy named Tommy Brewer, and he had already signed – I was a freshman. He was a sophomore. He had already signed with Florida, and it was pretty much understood that he was going to be the Friday night starter at Florida.
Wow.
And he started the first game that day of a doubleheader, and that game ended up going like 10 innings. It was a neck-and-neck game, and I started the second game, and you know, I struck out like the first 15 batters of the game. It was
an
out-of-body experience.
No way.
I think we made three defensive plays. I think the game was cut short to 10-run rule in the sixth inning, something like that. But retired.
Perfect game.
18 in a row, or 21 in a row, whatever it was. And that night, the thing that I took away the most with it driving home was like, man, I might actually be able to pitch at LSU, you know, after all said and done. So
and then you must have been stamped, signed, sealed, and delivered after you played Cole Lynn later on that year.
Look at you.
And you threw a no-hitter.
Where did you find all this stuff?
Dude, I do work.
Well, the truth is, Jordy, I went back to junior college. That was my freshman year. I was 14-1 my freshman year, and I did have a lot of opportunities. Mississippi State, not to
– But you wanted to go to LSU.
Not to be arrogant, but I had an opportunity to play pretty much any – when you go 14-1 in junior college, it's the same thing back then.
Absolutely.
Really, the transfer portal was alive because you could pull somebody out of junior college,
yeah,
and everyone called except for LSU. And for that reason, I stayed back. And that reason, and you build relationships when you're a part of a team. That's what's special about sports, right? So leaving my sophomore year, you know, at Christmas and not playing with those guys. None of that felt right. So
don't you find it hard? I mean, to ask these football players to come over and graduate early, you don't get to go. I wouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
I would not have done that.
Yeah, no, but JUCO was, you know, it's a grind. But if you love it and you really want to do it, it certainly keeps the doors open. In today's world, even more so perhaps than back then. But I don't regret a thing about it, a thing about my path. Even not making it to the major leagues, right? Just playing 5 or 6 years of minor league ball.
Got all the way up to AAA. You were knocking on the door.
Literally to this day, I've been watching a text thread all morning with 32 guys that I played with the Colorado Rockies, one of them being Matt Holliday. Uh-huh. And, of course, that thread has been blowing up with congrats for his son, Jackson. But the game of baseball is great. It takes you all over the place. And you know, I'm so blessed to have played as long as I did with the people that I played with.
I got drafted in the fifth round by the Lakers.
Come on.
And they'd just gotten Magic Johnson and all these people. And I'm like, oh, let me just get on with my life and let me go on. And then I see Steve Kerr out there doing what he does. And I'm like, man.
Well, I'm glad
I know I could do that.
I'm glad you brought this up. By the way, we're at Pluckers. Yes. Unbelievable place to come watch a game.
Yes, it is.
And as we were talking about that, Caitlin Clark was on
Lord.
A couple of the screens.
Here we go. Here we go. Okay.
I told you I was going to bring. Yeah. And I asked you, I said, what age did Jordy Holberg become unable to beat her? And you're like, I know you're a ball player. And I honestly was expecting you to say, probably in my mid-30s, had some knee problems.
It's a game of horse. I can still shoot. I said about 7 years ago when I turned 60.
So for all of you listening, I would love for you guys to tweet us or X us. What do you call it these days?
X
us. Yeah. I'd love for you to X us. Do you think Jordy could have beat Caitlin Clark 7 years ago in any game of basketball that can possibly be played?
See,
you can tweet him. You can tweet me. I would love to hear what the general listening public think about this because you're very confident.
You understand? I learned from Pistol Pete, and I saw I can shoot sitting down on the ground and bouncing it and do crazy stuff. Now, playing one-on-one, there's no way. I can't move anymore.
Well, of course.
Can't do any of that.
But I don't know about
trick
shots.
She
can shoot it a little bit.
Oh, she can shoot. Oh, yeah, she can shoot it. But you,
I just, let's let the public.
So what if you wound up and got real loose and warmed up and all, what could you bring it at now?
I didn't throw real hard to begin with.
Yeah, but you still could.
Like when I was.
Right.
I probably could scare 75-80.
You'd still strike me out. Give me a Skip Bertman and how much he how he influenced you, because he had such an impact on so many people and just the greatest of all time. Just share something about Skip.
I mean, how do you do that? I mean,
I know.
What am I, have 5 minutes left? I mean, impactful is certainly a word to use, but not just me. Hundreds of guys, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And the thing is, if you talk to any of those guys that played for Skip today, at some point they're going to do something that resembles him, whether it's a ooh or okay. Or like,
that's right.
Everyone is going to do that. And imitation is the greatest form of flattery. And he was the greatest at baseball.
Being
one thing I'll tell you is if Skip Bertman would have had the information he was way ahead of his game.
That's a great point.
If you remember the dugout, all the sheets of paper and the stats and the data, he was way ahead of the analytics side of baseball, always searching to put his team in a mathematical position to win or have the mathematical odds to win, whether it be a certain pitch he called in a certain situation or not. But if he'd have had all this information, the man might have never lost. I mean, he truly was remarkable. He was a great motivator. He is a great motivator to this day. I'm motivated every time I see him. He's still at the box. No matter what happens in Jay Johnson's time here at LSU, I will always support him. I'll always be there for him because he's opened the doors to Coach Bertman.
Amen.
He's made him part of the program. You saw the great pictures from Omaha when he opened him. I've asked Jay about this. And, you know, expected Jay to say, but Jay
sincerely. That doesn't always happen.
He told me, I would be stupid not to let the greatest of all time come in here whenever he wants and talk to me about the game of baseball. And he sincerely means that. And that says a lot about Jay, and I really appreciate that about him. But, you know, Skip, touching lives is what he did, and his legacy will forever be carried on. I ask my kids this all the time, or when we went to the not all the time, when we went to the statue.
Yeah.
I was, you know, telling them about Skip, and I asked them this. I said, what would you have to do starting today to have a statue in your honor?
Wow.
Right? So think about that. Yeah. Like, this guy's got a statue that'll be out there for the next 1,000 years, and it's well-deserved, and he'll always be remembered as one of the greats, if not the greatest college baseball coach of all time.
I'm with you. Doug, I can't thank you enough.
No, I appreciate you having me.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Go back to those wings.
Yeah,
have a great call tonight. Let's get a W. We need a win badly.
Hey, listen, baseball's a crazy game.
Yep.
Don't count them out because we've seen it before. And
I remember struggling, and all of a sudden they caught lightning in a bottle, and 23 games later they had 23 straight wins.
How about Ole Miss 2 or 3 years ago, right? I mean, so you never know, and as Skip would say, to leave with a skip, the law of averages says that at some point a team's going to start out the SEC season with a 3-12 record and finish the back half with a 12-3 record. If that's going to happen, it has to happen right now for LSU.
No doubt.
But the good news about that is, if you look at the schedule, now's the time
it's doable,
right?
Absolutely.
So outside of that A&M matchup. But count out the purple and gold, brother. You never know what's going to happen.
You got it. That's Doug Thompson, World Series champion for the LSU Tigers. And I'll do it again, since he won't. Yes. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one live from Pluckers here on Nicholson. Stay with us.
Go sign up for our rewards club at ESPNSouthwestLouisiana.com so you can score tickets, gift certificates, and much more. This is ESPN 1037 Lafayette and 1041 Lake Charles, Southwest Louisiana's sports station.
Now, we are back as we wrap up hour number one. Special thanks to our guests of this hour, Bill Franquez and Doug Thompson. That was a heck of a lot of fun. Still to come in hour number two, Mikey Matuk from St. Thomas More and Lafayette area via LSU, via Major League Baseball with the Tampa Bay Rays and the Detroit Tigers, to name a couple of teams that he played for. So we're looking forward to talking to Mikey, who does a little bit of this radio stuff as well. And then Paul Maneri will join us. We'll talk some baseball and some life with Paul, the two national championship winning coaches in baseball, Skip with 5 and Paul with 1. We'll talk Pelicans. I haven't been joined by Dawson Eiserlo before, but Dawson's going to join us to kick off hour number two. We're going to talk Pels Lakers, amongst other things there. So don't forget, we're live from Pluckers. They're nice enough to allow us in today. They've got a menu that is just this wing bar. I mean, look, it's just stuff. Anything you want, boneless wings, jumbo wings, all kinds of wing sauce. And their slogan, of course, is if you don't like our wings, we'll give you the bird. So Pluckers tonight, LSU baseball versus the UNO Privateers. We'll have it on ESPN 1037 Lafayette, 1041 in Lake Charles. We'll also have some coverage of LSU versus ULL, the Raging Cajuns in softball, amongst other things as well. So a busy day, and lots of things going on. Team USA reportedly finalized their roster for the Olympics. Wow. What a ball club. We'll have that story and much, much more. Hour number two straight ahead, the Jordy Helfrich Show, ESPN 1037 Lafayette, 1041 Lake Charles, your home for the LSU Tigers, the Houston Astros, and today, Mikey Matuk. Yes, we'll be back. Stay with us.
This is ESPN 1037 Lafayette and 1041 Lake Charles, Southwest Louisiana's sports station.
That's right. Can you dig it?
It's time for 2 hours of the best sports talk on the airwaves.
Can you dig it?
The Jordy Holtberg Show with your host, the Blonde Bomber himself.
Can you dig it?
Jordy Holtberg.
But away we go on a Tuesday, April 16th, the year 2024. We're live from Plucker's Wing Bar. There's two in Baton Rouge, one on Blue Bonnet by the Mall of Louisiana. We're at the one location on Nicholson, which is right outside the gates of LSU, just not far away from Alec Box Stadium, Skip Bertman Field. And it's fun to be here. They've got wings galore. They've got the new Breggy Creole Crush, named after Alex Bregman. A little collaboration with the Breggy Bomb Sauce and Rub. And the guys said it was pretty darn good. One of the guys is joining me. I've had James on. I've dealt with Raymond before, but this is the first. Thank you, Dawson Iserlo, for joining me. And we got a lot of baseball talk. But let's talk some hoops because that's a big game. Oh, obviously a big game. The play-in tournament is tonight. Pels versus the Lakers. What's your early thoughts on this one?
Well, I mean, it's clear that the Pels have a matchup problem there.
No doubt.
And, you know, with Anthony Davis, I think from an athleticism standpoint, provides against a team that doesn't have an athletic big man that can defend. And we know what Jonas's shortcomings are. And, you know, I've said throughout the season, I think I'm not a huge fan of the way Willie runs his rotations with just specifically in regards to Jonas, because if you were going to leave him on the roster after the trade deadline, which they did, the times where he starts him and plays him 4 minutes as like a courtesy to him and then pulls him out of the game, right. I'm just not sure what the point of that is. And
what you have to do, in my humble opinion, is you got to work the ball into, you know, make him an offensive player and make Anthony Davis have to guard somebody where he's not just sitting in the paint and just holding court. Make him play a little defense, and then Jonas is a decent enough passer. If they start to do some things, then you kick it out. But you got to make Davis play. You got to make him play.
Yeah, and you know whether or not Larry Nance is a more talented defensive player than Jonas, I won't argue that. But just again, size-wise, he just doesn't have what it takes to guard him in there. And then you combine the other night, they had the double, you know, the feature where LeBron is playing with that maestro kind of, you know. Oh.
So good.
The pass-first mentality, but so also good. Scoring when he wants to. Yeah. They didn't have any answers. And so, you know, what concerns me about Sunday is that the Pelicans shot the basketball pretty well, and you still lost the game, and you weren't even really in it. So that concerns me a lot. But with all that being said, on your home floor against a team that, you know, you should have every opportunity to win this game tonight. And I know you're feeling pretty decent about their chances.
I think they will. I think, first off, the key to the game, first, you got to make – Anthony Davis plays some defense man-to-man, not sitting in a zone and blocking shots from away from someone. But you got to clamp down. You can't let D'Angelo Russell and Austin Reeves have the games that they have. You got to cut them off. You can't allow five in double figures like they did. LeBron's going to do what LeBron does. He's too stinking good. He's too good. Anthony Davis is going to do his thing. But you can't let those other guys get theirs. You just can't.
You know, and I wanted to ask you this because I've heard this storyline brought up a couple of times. Do you think it's as silly as I do, the idea that one of these teams would have the intention of losing this game?
Yeah, can't
I
do
just,
that.
Yeah, you there's can't no do reason.
That. First off, LeBron's old enough. He wants as much rest as he can get. Everybody's saying because, Denver is the defending champs and they beat you last year in the playoffs and you got no shot against them. I don't think anybody comes down to one game when you may have to play a guy like Steph Curry,
right?
Who could get 50 in the blink of an eye. So I'm with you on that.
Yeah, and I do, you know, I understand, too, the look-ahead factor of what Denver provides you. But if you're the Pelicans, you don't match up great with Oklahoma City anyway. I mean, so, I understand it's a lot different playing a team that hasn't really been there before. And the Thunder maybe have some growing pains. And the team that gets the 8 spot's going to feel like they have a chance, whereas the team that goes to Denver – and plays them in a 7-game series, knows that team's been there before. But Denver didn't have a ton of playoff success before last year either.
That's right.
I say, again, whatever it takes tonight, I don't care if you win it ugly. I don't care if you win it 80-79. You find a way to get in the tournament, and at that point, you're the best road team in the NBA anyway. So, you know, home court advantage doesn't matter that much.
You're at home. You're the 7th seed. All the pressure's on New Orleans. And this is a young team that's not playoff savvy. So we'll see how they handle it. I thought I was there Sunday, fifth row watching, and you could see Zion Williamson was totally phased out, intimidated, whatever words you want to call it. He just, it was like the play-in tournament all over again.
Well, and you know, another thing, too, and I'd like to get your perspective on it, not to switch around who's asking
yeah,
the
go
questions
ahead,
here.
But, I like it. I like
but
it.
But you throw Brandon Ingram back into the lineup.
Bad move. Bad move.
Well, and but you had to try to get him out there, right, because they know they're going to need him in a playoff series. But
Six man. Right. Keep well, the continuity together and bring him off the bench and let him slowly integrate himself back into the lineup. Trey Murphy was playing great. You were rolling, and then boom. All of a sudden, that's all
yeah.
she wrote.
And what I worry about, too, is you saw it last year when Ingram got hurt. He feels like one of the – I mean, we know it. He's a rhythm-based player, that mm-hmm. mid-range shot. It's mm-hmm. all about being in rhythm and getting to his spot.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like it. Sometimes it takes him five or six games once he comes back, even to start a season.
Yeah.
And so I worry in a series. Obviously, you look up, if it takes you five or six games to find a rhythm, they're not going to yeah. be there anyway. But maybe the fact that you get a game tonight, you got a game Sunday – maybe three or four games into a playoff series, you start to see him come alive, and hopefully maybe Zion can carry you through on the rest of those.
They can't play any worse defensively
right.
Than they did Sunday. It's impossible. Zion was just out in no man's land. That first half was layup after layup after layup after layup. It was absurd. So I think they bounce back. I think they I'm curious to see how many fans come to this game. I'm
yeah.
really concerned about that.
Well, and yeah, you saw some of the rumblings on Twitter about, you know, how I think Scott Kushner was talking about it, all the seats that are available right now. And he was saying he didn't even remember that many in a regular season game when LeBron comes to town. Because, you know, people go out to yeah. see LeBron. Obviously,
yeah.
he's one of the greatest players ever. That is strange that the fan base, who's been really locked in this year, you know, it's mm-hmm. been a nice resurgence of the fan base.
Absolutely.
For them to kind of be like, you know, and again, it's a letdown. It's,
yeah.
it's kind of like the old adage of a team that gets a bowl game that they weren't, you know, they had championship aspirations.
I think in the back of their mind, the Lakers know they can beat the Pelicans. I think in the back of their mind, I think the Pelican fans know that the Lakers can beat the Pelicans. It's a terrible matchup. But for some strange reason, I think the Pelicans play well. They've struggled at home, which is inconceivable in my book. I don't understand that at all. But I think they figure out a way, and they bounce back and get this thing tonight.
You're a little more optimistic than
I know,
I am.
I know.
You know, I will say they are favorites by 1.5, and whether that has
well,
to do
I didn't even
with
know
the,
that. Okay.
Yeah, and I've heard, you know, too, the betting line is obviously based on how much money's coming in sometimes.
Right,
so I don't
sure.
know if that's part of it. But I do think – The sad part about it is how bad they've played at home this season, close to a 500 team when you actually have the
it's
best
crazy.
Road, which I didn't even realize that until the other day, the yeah. best road record in the league, regardless.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
you're counting Boston as well
yeah.
in this. I would be surprised, or I'd be disappointed at least, if it's not a quality atmosphere. But as we're mentioning, based on some of the stuff we're seeing, maybe it's not going to be, because that's the type of thing that I think should be your big advantage here in getting the seventh spot, is that you're playing this play-in game at home, and that should carry you through. But it might not.
I think there's too many teams in the play. I think the first seven teams ought to be in the playoffs. I think 9 plays 10. Winner of that, single elimination, 9 versus 10. The winner plays 8, single elimination. Whoever wins that, that's the next team in.
Well, and I've said for a long time, I can't stand the idea. And in my opinion, I didn't like it when the NFL expanded, although I've come around a little bit. I do like the fact that one team in each conference gets a massive advantage
yeah.
by winning the conference in the
mm-hmm.
regular season. But the fact that 20 of your 30 teams are involved in postseason
yeah.
basketball, I don't know what
yeah.
what are we playing 82
that's
games
right.
for, you
that's
know?
Right.
So I've never been a fan of it, but the NBA would look at a year like this
well,
year and go, look at all the injuries
yeah, look at
we
all,
got down
but
the
look
stretch.
At all the games, yeah, that mattered, yeah.
But those games would have been even more important because they'd have been win-or-go-home games in
yeah.
some of those instances.
Yeah.
So I've gone back and forth on
anybody
that.
Anybody going to beat this team? Steph Curry at the point or LeBron James at the point? Kevin Durant at the 2 or 3? Jason Tatum at the 4? Joel Embiid at the 5? Anybody going to beat that team? In the Olympics?
Are you talking about the U.S. national team?
Yeah.
Well, I saw the Canada team that they put up against it that has some talent, but
man.
Obviously doesn't have the developed, you know.
I'm surprised.
The tenured record.
I like Devin Booker because he can shoot. Anthony Davis is a big. Anthony Edwards, tremendous all-around player. Tyrese Halliburton, assist and could do all that. I'm surprised a little bit with Jrue Holiday from Boston on it. He's had a good year, but I'm a little bit surprised by that.
Yeah, and I wonder if that's a little bit of just – now, the funny thing, though, is they have a lot of veteran guys there.
Yeah.
When you mentioned Steph and KD and LeBron, but –
well, you know who's picking the team, don't you?
Right.
LeBron.
Well, right.
Yeah.
For the most part, I'm sure he's got a big hand in it, and that maybe is just a guy that he's really comfortable with.
Yeah.
And maybe a guy that the coaching staff – you know, we know how good of a guy Jrue was, right,
yeah.
from his time in New
Absolutely.
Orleans. So It takes a little bit of a locker room guy, and they added one in on the even on the national team. Maybe that's what that is.
You mentioned that. That's two guys on the Olympic team that used to be Pelicans. How about that? Holiday and Davis. Oh, well. All right, so you're picking the Lakers, and I'm picking the Pels?
Yeah, I guess
so. I'm not
betting
with my heart. I'm just going to figure it out that way.
Yeah, fair enough.
Dawson, awesome, man. Thank you so much, buddy. Dawson Iserlo. Let's give a big hand, everybody. There you go. Big hand. Absolutely. All right. There you go. We're going to take a time out here. We're going to come back with St. Thomas More's finest. He laughs. He chuckles. Mikey Matuk joins us next here, the Jordy Helfrich Show, live from Plucker's Wing Bar on Nicholson Drive. Stay with us.
You're listening to ESPN 103.7 Lafayette and 104.1 Lake Charles, Southwest Louisiana's sports station and your home for the LSU Tigers.
Hi, welcome back. It is 16 minutes after the hour, and I've talked to this man before, and I said, like, let me give him a shot on the radio.
a face for radio,
and he was great, and now he's doing it on his own, and he's just terrific. St. Thomas More, LSU, the big leagues. Mikey Matuk, kind enough to join us here live at Plucker's Wing Bar on Nicholson. My man,
good to
looking
see
good.
You. No, I appreciate you.
How's retirement from baseball?
Man, retirement's okay. From baseball.
From baseball. I wish
I was retired.
No.
But retirement from baseball has been good. I miss it a little bit. Miss all the good things.
Yeah. I want to get into that. Yeah. But there's a lot of kids out there, and there's a big debate and argument, as far as I'm concerned, with these kids that are playing travel baseball, and that's all they're doing, and it's baseball, 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 baseball.
Yeah.
You played football. You played baseball. You played basketball. You did all that as a kid.
I did.
What is your recommendation, and what works? What do you think? What's your opinion on that?
For me, I hate specializing in one sport, especially at a young age.
Yes.
I think you should play as many sports for as long as you want to play them,
right,
as long as you can play them. Like you said, I went from football to basketball to baseball my entire life.
Yep, yep.
And I think every sport has its own
they'll end up helping
exactly
you for the one that you specialize
exactly
in.
Football, you learn toughness.
Yep.
You learn how to figure out how to get back up off the mat.
Yep.
Basketball, you understand a little bit more of the footwork. Athleticism, a different type of athleticism. Baseball's a little bit more finesse.
So what you So what you're saying is the greatest athletes in the world are basketball players.
They are. Now we can argue some other things, but
pure
athleticism.
That's the end of the interview. Thanks for joining us, Mike. I greatly appreciate that.
Pure athleticism.
Yeah.
I think bar none, basketball players. Pure athleticism, but you learn a lot of different things about yourself. I learned a lot. You play with different types of players too, different types of athletes. And, man, I think playing as many sports as you can for as long as you can, I think that's the most important thing. And specialization, man, you've seen all the arm injuries.
Yes.
That's part of it.
Yes.
You're throwing a lot of pitches. Everybody wants to throw hard from a younger age. Yeah.
And then they're trying to throw curveballs when they're 7 years old. Like, easy.
Yeah, it's in due time, right? Everything happens the way it's supposed to happen. But play as many as you can. That's my advice.
I've been saying that for forever and a day, and I agree with you. You really great athlete in high school. You had a chance to go to the big leagues. You were drafted right out of high school. What came into the decision to not do that and to come to LSU?
Well, LSU always was a dream of mine, right? My dad played football here. My uncle played football here, and it was somewhere I'd always wanted to be. I wanted to take that next step before professional baseball. Professional sports or whatever that was going to be when I was growing up. Coming out of high school, it ended up professional baseball was that route. And so I, to be honest with you, wasn't ready to go out of high school to professional baseball. Physically, athletically, yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. Mentally, not ready at all. You know, I'd never really left home. I know Baton Rouge is only an hour away, but you're still on your own.
Absolutely.
You still have to learn
how
to.
Growing up.
Exactly.
Yep.
And, you know, I was always labeled as a raw baseball player, of more of an athlete playing baseball because I was a football guy growing up.
Right.
So I knew
what position did you play in football?
I was a quarterback. Yep, I was a quarterback.
Boy, you had a tough time. You had a hard time getting a date in high school, didn't you? You had a tough time. Yeah.
So I was a quarterback, and you know, I didn't know, but physically, athletically, I was ready. Mentally, I wasn't. I had to grow. I had to learn baseball, and so obviously, coming to LSU was probably the
best thing I've ever
That's awesome. You're part of a national championship team. What is there that thought in the back of your mind after what Skip Berkman did and the legacy that is LSU baseball? Do you feel that pressure we got to win. We got to win here. Does that come into play?
I think so. You know, I got here at a good time, right? Mineri and them had just gotten to Omaha in 2008.
Yeah.
And so they had all this momentum going into 2009. I didn't have to go through that tough stretch in 7.
Right.
Right. Or that win streak in 2008. I came in there where they kind of already figured that out.
Okay.
So I didn't really feel the pressure necessarily of winning. It was almost like it was expected, at least in my head, because you see it.
Right.
Right. It was expected. I don't know if I would consider it pressure. It's just, hey, when I come here, the expectation of being in Baton Rouge is to win a national championship.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was fortunate to do it my freshman year, and then being naive like I was, I thought I was
going to do it every year.
Exactly. Right? And then 2010, we actually had a pretty good season going, and then we had some injuries, and we kind of went through a tough stretch. And then 11, they actually changed the postseason rules because of our team in 2011. We didn't make the postseason. We were 36-20, the ninth-rated team in the SEC, and we didn't make it. They have since recently changed that.
Let's let them all in.
Yeah, the way it is now, we would have made it. Yeah. So you don't feel the pressure. You feel the expectation.
What's it like hitting 425 for a season? being an All-American. What's 420? Does the ball look like a softball? Yeah, by the way, your coach is
good. Your coach is here. He can tell some good stories. Yeah, listen.
Straight off the golf course.
That's it. How'd you shoot? I just got pinned at Wow. Congratulations.
Go get some.
Of course you did.
Just another Hall of Fame clan. I mean, they've run out, so they're inventing some for him. Yeah,
that's it. It was awesome. It was a special season. You know, it wasn't always that easy, obviously.
Right.
You know, my freshman year, I didn't start right away. I had to earn my way up there.
Of course.
And then, you know,
it's LSU. It's not
exactly.
You know, they don't recruit.
Thank God Chad Jones played football.
Yeah, they don't recruit Darby. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
No doubt.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and then when I got to my junior year, it was just one of those things where everything kind of just fell into place, and I tried to stay as consistent as I could. They changed the bats that year. That was the first year they went to the new BB Core bats, and so
which I still don't understand to this day what that means.
Yeah, well now
that's
the bats
too complicated.
Now the way the bats are, it doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
They're back to what they used to be. But
should they have wooden bats in college, or is that just too cost prohibitive?
Too cost prohibitive.
Okay.
You know, because that'll be a real big advantage. You know, up here in Baton Rouge, Marucci's down the road.
Yeah.
You'd be able to get whatever you want. Yeah. Some of these smaller schools may not have the resources to be able to get those bats. But yeah, I mean, having a season like that, being able to see other guys grow up, have those seasons, and be one of those, it was pretty special.
Major League Baseball, it's a different beast. That's full grown men doing this stuff, and they look at guys coming up. It's like in any sport. You're not taking my job. I got to make this is my livelihood. Best experience. What was Major League Baseball like for you?
It was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, it was a dream come true. It was everything you kind of expected. I never, you know, some guys come there knowing what to expect because they have either, you know, parents that played in the big leagues or, you know, family members or brothers or whoever. I didn't have any of that. So
first round pick, Tampa Bay.
And I was
first
just figuring
rounder.
It out on the fly.
Yeah.
And it was everything I'd hoped for. Obviously, there's some things to it that aren't great. You know, the political side, not the political side, but the business side of it.
Right.
Right. You have, you know, a lot, like you said, guys are always trying to take your job. They're always looking for the next youngest guy to come up there and try to make an impact. And at the end of the day, it's a business. And so they have to run it that way in a sense. And so that part's not that fun, but the playing of the baseball, the traveling, being with the guys,
fields,
all that's
are the
awesome.
Fields really that good?
The fields?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah. I mean, Tropicana's not great.
Okay.
Tropicana's pretty bad.
Yeah, they're up in Detroit. That's pretty good.
Detroit's the field there is great. Fenway's awesome. Wrigley's awesome. I get to play in all the historic places, which is pretty cool.
Travel pretty good.
Travel very nice.
Food's pretty good.
Hotel's nice.
Hotels. Yeah. It's hard to come down to the real
good
world.
Good wine. You have good guys or winos. When you play on the same team as Justin Verlander, he's dropping like $400-$600 bottles of wine like it's house wine. I'm like, as long as you're paying for the bill, I'm good with it.
You know what I saw? In the NBA, there'd be guys playing cards
yeah.
in the front of the – dropping
Oh, yeah.
$40,000 cash in the plane.
Oh, yeah. I didn't play
those games.
I was in the B game in the back playing $100 games.
No, I was watching the movie on the free movie.
Yeah, I didn't have the A game was in the front. That was with, that was the big money guys.
Yeah, that's
no doubt.
It's all relative, right? It's all relative. All right, this LSU baseball club. Man, I feel for Jay. You're trying. You're changing up your lineup. You're putting new pitchers in. And, you know, who knows when you can catch lightning in a bottle and something good happens, but you just got to get through it. What's your assessment?
Yeah, it's one of those things where every game, a lot of the games they've lost have been, I made the analogy, basketball player, right? 50-50 balls in basketball, right? A lot of those games that are close, you go look at some of the hidden stats. 50-50 balls, how many balls are going the other way? Those teams usually win. It feels like those 50-50 balls this season for baseball have gone the opposite direction, right? And some of those are self-inflicted. Walking too many guys, giving too many free passes. So then when those
base running errors,
you're running
like
yourself
that.
Out of the innings.
Right.
So when those 50-50 opportunities present themselves and they go the other way, they're maximized and they're magnified because you've given so many free opportunities early on in games. And they haven't hit well with runners in scoring position. They haven't done well on the mound enough to keep guys from scoring, right? And so all of those things add up, and when you start making those one or two errors or one or two mistakes, they get magnified.
Well, then it gets tight. Then
you forget how to win.
Yeah. Oh, play not to lose instead of play to win. Yes, it's a hard one.
Yep.
Well, we'll see what happens. Back to high school, quarterback, best game. How far? You know, who'd you throw it against? I mean, who was it?
There's a few. So a little backstory. My junior year, I was a starting quarterback. We had just gotten a new field turf. First game on the field turf, I broke my arm.
Oh.
And so I was out the rest of that year. My backup had a pretty good season throwing the football. And so the next year.
Uh-oh, he Wally pipped you.
No.
He got Wally pipped.
So the next year, I was a starter, but they wanted to give him some opportunity. So every third drive, I would play wide receiver. And so I guess you're asking for my best game was
and caught it, didn't you?
We played Como High School. I scored 5 touchdowns 4 different ways.
4 different ways. So you threw you ran one, you caught one.
And I had a kick return for one.
And you kick.
Yeah.
Hey, did Paul Maneri know you were that good of an athlete?
I think he did. That's why he recruited me.
Man.
Part of the reason why I was there.
You could have been the guy that played all 9 positions in a game.
No. You don't want to see me on the infield. I can promise you that.
Really?
Look at him. He does. No. You don't want to see me in the infield. Listen, I played first base 1 game in my life in AAA, and I never played it again.
Never played it again for a reason.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Mikey Matuk. Tell everybody what you're doing now, because we're in Lafayette, all the St. Thomas More people, and all the enemies from all the other schools are going, man, I hate that Matuk. I hate him.
Yeah, my day job is I'm in the commercial insurance industry.
Okay.
So I do large commercial insurance. I work for Assured Partners. Offices are down in Lafayette, so I'm commute back and forth. Not every day.
Time out. Uh-huh. I didn't want to interrupt you. I was at another Broken Egg one morning. It was like 7 o'clock in the morning. You were there all dressed up and had that pen and paper.
I'm working hard.
He's trying to close the deal.
I'm working hard. I'm learning from the best. And so that's what I'm doing as my day job. And then on Mondays and Wednesday nights from 6 to 8 p.m., I have a YouTube podcast show Jared Mitchell co-hosts with me called Mic'd Up. And then we do it again.
I bet you love talking basketball and other things.
I do.
I know you do.
We talk.
See?
All of it. I love baseball. I'd rather talk football and basketball than just baseball. It's obviously baseball season.
All right, time out. Who wins tonight? Pels, Lakers, and why?
Man, you are. Listen, I'm biased. I do think the Pels win.
I do too.
I think the Pels are a better team all around
right
now.
They bounce back.
Yep. I think they. I don't like the way how they finished the season. You know, I think they had the playoff. They didn't have. They put themselves in this position. I think Zion on the team playing the way he's been playing this year, I think that's a difference maker.
Tell you what, you're nice enough to come on my show. If you ever need me on yours,
I'm going to need you. Let me know.
Listen,
LSU basketball, too, made a little bit of a run last year. They surprised
Matt's
some people.
Got some, Matt's recruiting a little bit.
Yeah, he is. So I was very pleasantly surprised.
Okay. See, Jake Johnson had to follow Maneri.
That's it.
And Matt's got to follow Kim Mulkey.
That's tough.
Mikey Matuk, thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
You're the best. Thank you so much. We'll take a quick time out here when we come back. He has won a national championship as a coach. He was his player. Palmieri joins us next. Stay with us.
This is the Jordy Holtberg Show, live on ESPN 103.7 Lafayette and 104.1 Lake Charles. Back to the sports talk you not only want, but need. This is ESPN 103.7 Lafayette and 104.1 Lake Charles, Southwest Louisiana's sports station.
And we are back live from Plucker's Wing Bar on Nicholson Drive. Rather fitting that LSU's playing UNO tonight because the gentleman joining me was a pretty darn good player for the Privateers. They won two Sun Belt Conference championships and made it to the NCAA tournament as well. And he was an all-star. He won a national championship here and one of the nicest guys in the world. Palmieri kind of joined us. Thank you, Paul, for taking a day away from the golf course to come sit down with me. I can't believe it. I can't believe it.
I went and hit balls this morning. Don't give yourself too much credit, Jordy.
All right, I want to know.
Let's not forget Blake Dean is the coach.
I know.
UNO now, one of the greatest players in the history of LSU baseball, led us to a national championship.
Absolutely correct. There's a lot of synchronicity here. Tell me about the Wareham Gateman.
Oh, my gosh.
Tell me about the Wareham Gateman
from?
And how fun was Cape Cod back as a player?
I haven't seen you in a while. We haven't done this in a while. And the first thing you're asking me about is the Wareham Gateman.
Because
I could have taken 1,000 guesses of the first thing you were going
to
ask me about.
And that's why I like to do that, to keep you on your toes. But what was it like at the Cape Cod as a player, young man like you were?
Oh, it was an awesome experience. Things were a lot different back then. It wasn't a wood bat league. Everybody's using aluminum bats. I went after my junior year, which is highly unusual now because the league is really only for the top prospects for the major league draft.
Right.
And so you get very few finished juniors because they're eligible for the draft.
Mm-hmm.
I was eligible for the draft. I just wasn't good enough to get drafted.
Stop it.
And many of the teammates that I had were in the same capacity. But it was a lot of fun. My father was actually the coach of the team.
Really?
And I had three or four teammates from UNO that played with me, including my best friend in the world, Randy Bush.
Uh-huh.
And that was a coming out party for Randy. Randy had a great career down at Miami-Dade Community College playing for my dad, but went undrafted. And so my dad told him, look, we need to get you to a different scouting region, which was University of New Orleans is where he was going to go. And we're going to take you to Cape Cod. And Randy went to Cape Cod, and he had an unbelievable summer leading into his junior year.
Okay.
And then he had a great year at UNO and became a second-round draft choice and spent 11 years in the major leagues.
Did somebody have to put you up in their house and you had to – is that how it worked?
That's how it worked, yeah. Now, I was a different situation because my dad was the coach and he had a house.
Okay.
So I lived with my parents actually, my girlfriend, who later became my wife, went up and spent the summer there as well.
Oh, man, life is good.
And that's where I actually met my other best friend in the world, Jim Hendry. He was an assistant coach on the team, even though he was only a year older. And we became, really, really tight that summer and have remained best friends for over 40 years.
Baseball's been your life.
It has.
Now you've retired. How is life after baseball for Palmieri?
A tad boring, Jordy.
Okay,
a tad
I bet.
Boring. My passion has been golf, because I needed to find something to fill the void of missing the competition and also to give me something to do during the day. And I've made so many great friends out at university club or wherever I've gone out to play. I've taken a trip to Scotland for played 8 rounds in 7 days on all the big courses in Scotland.
Oh, that's terrific.
This summer I'm going to Ireland with a group of guys. So I've had some great experiences there. I've gotten really good at carpool pickup. I've figured out the right lane to get into to pick up my grandkids over at St. Aloysius.
Do you take the trash out and
take out the trash?
Weed the flower beds and stuff like that?
I'm the laundry man at our house. Okay. I take out the trash.
I can see the colors now. I can see a lot of pink towels in the Manary house.
I didn't say I do it well. I just. But Jordy, I've been able to do some things that I never got to do before.
That's true. Yeah,
like going to Europe or Scotland.
You can't do it. It's either baseball games or recruiting, and it's all encompassing.
Public appearances, all those things. It's a 365-day year. A couple weeks in December maybe were slow, but it never leaves your mind.
You know what I like about Jay Johnson? It's not always the case with coaches when they come into a program. They kind of want to put their stamp on it. But he's opened the door for you, for Skip, and, you know, allowed you to kind of hang around and just be a part of it. And yeah. I think that's smart, and I think it's great.
Well, I did it with Skip,
yep.
and he was smart enough to do it with Skip and yep. I, you know, because – you know, when you listen, it's a difficult thing when you think about it as a coach that replaces a fairly successful coach before,
right.
because, you know, you're a confident person and you got to do things your own way. And I would never malign any coach for wanting to do things mm-hmm. his own way. I didn't do things exactly the way Skip did.
Absolutely not.
I didn't play for Skip. I right. wasn't Skip's assistant coach. So I wasn't with him on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm.
Had I been influenced to that level by Skip, I probably would have done a lot.
Yeah.
You know, my former coaches like Brian O'Connor or Blake Dean or Will Davis or Eddie Smith, whoever, they're going to do things a lot
yeah.
like I did because they learned it from me.
Yeah.
But I didn't learn that to that detail from Skip. And so, you know, when I came in, Skip understood that. And listen, he gave me a lot of great advice while I was the coach here. Never forced me to do anything,
right, right.
But many.
But
of
you got to be your own man. You
have
do
to be your
thing.
Own man, but yeah. but also you lean on somebody with so much great experience,
mm-hmm.
and little things here and there. Skip would advise me on, and so most of it was very, very valid stuff, mm-hmm. and I tried to implement it. And I think Jay's tried to do the same thing, but you know, Jay grew up in a different baseball environment than I grew
right.
up in. You know, there's
right.
a style of play in
yes.
California.
Yes,
there's a lot of bunting. There's a lot of visits with the players, you know, uh-huh. the hitter, pitching mound visits, whatever. It's a slower style of game. You know, you can't ask somebody to do it the way that the person before did it.
Right.
And I totally respect that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when he's wanted advice, he's called on me or Skip, and we're always there for
mm-hmm.
him. You
That's
know,
great.
We want to see him be successful.
Take me back. 2008. You had a winning record. You were 23-16-1 at one point in time. And,
something
and,
like that.
Something
yes.
like that. And
11th out of 12 teams.
Yes,
by the way.
And then
that was there was 4 weeks to go in the season.
And I'm trying to draw a parallel here because anything can happen. Things
yeah.
can change in the drop of a hat, and all of a sudden, you guys catch, as I yeah. said all day, lightning in a bottle, and you go 23 straight
yeah.
wins.
Swept all four series
yeah,
at
so,
the end of the season. So, that had never, even in Skip's great year,
yeah,
great teams,
never, no.
they'd never swept four straight
no,
series.
No, 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 no. It's just a remarkable turn. What do you remember about that?
It was
what
a
do
lot
you remember
more,
from
yeah.
your team?
It was that was my favorite team of all time because of the character that they showed in not giving up. And
uh-huh.
see, this is the thing, Jordy, you know, okay, my first year was not great. You know,
mm-hmm.
we inherited a situation. We didn't have a transfer
right.
portal in those days.
Right.
And, you know, we did the best we could. We actually.
Well, usually they make a coaching change because the team's not that good,
well,
unfortunately.
Yeah, so, you know, we overachieved. You know, the Smoke had brought in some really good mm-hmm. freshmen in Blake Dean and Sean Ochinco, Ryan Shimp, Jared Mitchell, a great junior college transfer, and Jared Bradford. So I give Smoke a lot of credit
yeah.
for some of the kids that he brought in. But, you know, the team had not done well for a couple years in a row. There was, you know, they had kind of lost their way. And, you know, I had to be a disciplinarian and establish a way that we were going to do things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some guys didn't want to, you know, abide by the new procedures.
Right.
And so they had to go.
Right.
And but anyway, Terry Rooney and Cliff Godwin and I worked, you know, really hard on recruiting, and particularly Terry and Cliff. And we ended up bringing in the number one ranked recruiting class in the country. We had 11 players drafted
wow.
in our recruiting class.
Wow.
And 10 of them came to school.
Wow.
Which is unheard of.
That is unheard of.
So
and that's pre-NIL. I mean,
pre-INL,
there was no such thing.
Right, right. We couldn't entice them
right.
with anything other than a positive experience
uh-huh.
that they were going to have here. Anyway, they came to school. I knew we had a good team. We had DJ LeMayu as a freshman, Micah Gibbs, you know, Leon Landry, Chad
yeah.
Jones.
Ooh, some
we had
some players.
A bunch of great
yeah.
young players,
yeah.
you know. And but the core of that team was the guys from my first year, Mike Hollander, Blake Dean.
Yeah.
Sean Ochinco,
okay.
and all the guys I just mentioned, Ryan Shimp,
good players,
Jared
man.
Bradford,
good players,
and even though Lewis Coleman didn't have a great year the year you know, his sophomore year, which was my first year, Lewis became a real leader on that team. Mm-hmm. But they, all those guys started to show those young players the way. And I knew we had a good team. We just didn't, you know, we were trying to put a bunch of new guys together. And uh-huh. we were one pitch away, one hit away,
yeah.
one play away. And I kept preaching that to the guys. Don't get down. I know people are getting down on you.
Uh-huh.
I'm not down on you. I know we can do it. And I knew which kids to believe in. And I'll never forget it, Jordy. Tuesday night, we go to Tulane. And Tulane had a great team.
Yes, they did. I remember
and,
this.
And, you know, it's the top of the eighth inning. We're losing by a run. And it's the same kind of game we've been losing uh-huh. many of these games all year, these close, you know, mm-hmm. heartbreaking losses. And we're losing by a run, and we got a guy on base, and somebody hit a double. We got second and third, one out in the eighth inning. Like, this is our chance yeah. now, right? Uh-huh. And Matt Clark is up, who leads the country, led the country in home runs, had a great year for us, and Matt strikes out.
Oh.
And, oh. you could just feel
the hair, the air out of it.
Deflation in the dugout,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And then a freshman by the name of DJ LeMahieu steps up with two outs and rips a base hit over the second baseman's head, a two-run single, and we take the lead.
I got goosebumps, man.
We go to the ninth inning. The bottom of the eighth inning. Paul Bertoncini pitches us through the eighth inning. We go to the ninth. Micah Gibbs hits a two-run double to put us up by three. Bertoncini closes him out in yeah. the bottom of the ninth. I meet with the team in right field, and I told them, I said, guys, this is what I've been telling you all year. We found the way to win tonight.
Yeah.
LeMahieu picked up Clark. Bertoncini did the job. Gibbs got the big hit in the ninth to extend uh-huh. the lead. And we just had a great victory in a tough environment against a tough team.
Yep.
This is it. We're going to start going on a roll starting now.
Wow.
Because now we know how to win.
Yeah.
Little did I know, we wouldn't lose for 22 yeah. more games, right? Yeah, we beat McNeese State the next night. Then South Carolina came in. And South Carolina had been LSU's daddy, you know.
Yes.
When I took over.
Ray Tanner and all
when
that.
When I
yeah.
took over, LSU had lost 9 straight games to South Carolina. My first year, we went to Columbia. We lost the opening game, beat them the second game to end like a 10-game losing streak
right.
to them. So now they come in the next year. They got first-rounders
yeah,
all over
yeah.
the field.
Yeah.
Justin Smoke and
yeah.
all these guys, right? And the first night, Friday night, my wife and I had lunch at Roberto's.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is why the tradition started, where I'd start eating at Roberto's every Friday, because that night we go out and beat USC 13-2.
Wow.
So the next day we're going to play again, and the weather reports had been Sunday's going to be a washout. Sunday's going to be an absolute washout,
yeah.
right? We're only going to get in this next game. So I'm driving in that morning, and I'm thinking about how well we had always played on Sundays, and we were wearing the gold jerseys
right.
every Sunday.
Right.
So I went into the field that day, and I had the managers change out the jerseys from the purple tops, which we normally wore on
uh-huh.
game two, to the gold tops. So when the players came in, they were like, Coach, what's with the gold tops? And I said, hey, if we get rained out tomorrow, I want you to feel like today's Sunday. And we have power in that gold. That gold gives us the confidence that we can do it, right?
Yeah.
Well, we go out and beat South Carolina again the second day. Yeah. Well, Sunday doesn't get rained out.
Put the gold on again.
Put the gold on again. And well, that's how we started the tradition of wearing the gold the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we swept
Amazing.
That series. We won our midweek game. The next week we go to Kentucky. And the year before, my first year, Kentucky had beaten us all three games the opening weekend
uh-huh.
of SEC play
right.
at home. Well, you know, so we're going to play Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And they've got two great left-handed pitchers, Jordy, okay? Am I boring you with this story?
No, this is great.
Okay.
I love it.
So they got two great left-handed pitchers, Chris Russin and James Paxton. Both of them pitched in big leagues, okay? I think Paxton's still pitching in the big leagues. And we got a bunch of left-handed hitters on our lineup, you know? And Friday night gets rained out. So we got to play two games on Saturday.
Okay.
Well, I show up to the park. And I'm telling you, following this front that went through, the wind is galing in from right field. I mean, it's blowing in 20 miles an hour steady, right?
Okay.
Short porch in right field, but you're going to need a bazooka to hit one out in right field, okay? And we're facing these two tough left-handed pitchers.
What do you do?
So I go to Matt Clark, and I said, Matt, you're not playing today, buddy. He's like, what?
What?
I said, hey, you're a Deadpool hitter. You don't hit the lefties well. I'm putting Chris McGee in. Chris McGee, little Chris,
yeah,
right?
I know.
I told Chris, you know, after the first year when he played so much for us, and I knew that the next year he wouldn't play as much because we had really brought in a lot of talent. I said, Chris, there's going to be a day when you're going to spark our team. So I went over to Chris in the dugout, and I said,
today's
Chris, remember when I told you that? I said, today's the day.
I love it.
He goes 4-for-6 with, like, 3 stolen bases in the doubleheader. Hollander drives him in with the winning run in game 2, and we sweep the doubleheader. The next day, the righty's on the mound. I put Clark back in. Clark hits a 2-run homer in the 9th inning to win the game for us, and we sweep that series.
23 straight. Anything can happen.
Hey, the next series, Mississippi State, was going to be the last series ever in the old Alec Box Stadium.
Yeah, yeah.
I was so nervous because we got to send the box
send
out
the box
right
the right way.
And we didn't play great, but we won all 3 games, and then we went to Auburn and swept that series. So
I could talk forever with you, but we're out of time.
Oh, are we really already? Okay.
Yeah, we're done. Paul, I can't thank you enough. Just stay healthy and enjoy retirement. You've earned it.
Let me just say this last thing before we go off, okay? So the team's going through a tough time right now. You know that, okay?
Yep.
But this is the time that tests people. And as I've told Jay, this is a time when you have to show the greatest leadership.
No question.
This is when you have to be the leader because everybody's looking at you to set the positive tone.
Yep.
And they've got the talent. There's no doubt in my mind about it, Jordy. They just need to find a way to win a game, and then they'll win another game and so forth and make a run. I don't know if they'll win 23 in a row, but I still think they can do it the last half of the
Paul
season.
Paul Mainieri, national champion, winning coach, best in the business. Thank you, my friend.
All right, take care.
Jordy,
my pleasure.
We'll be back to wrap it all up here from Pluckers after this.
Let your voice be heard. Give us a call on the Mike's Marine Hotline at 337-706-0111. Brought to you by Mike's Marine, keeping you on the water. So speak your mind and call the hotline. 337-706-0111. This is ESPN, 1037 Lafayette and 1041 Lake Charles, Southwest Louisiana's sports station.
We're back, finishing touches live from Pluckers Wing Bar. Don't forget about the Breggy's Creole Crush, the collaboration with former Tiger, current Astro, Alex Bregman, with a little Breggy Bomb sauce and a little bit of rub. You had it?
It was good.
It was good.
It was nice.
Okay. I got mine to go.
Got a little bit of a kick to it.
A little bit of a kick to it. Speaking of kick, over there at Tiger Park tonight, it will be LSU versus the Raging Cajuns, two really good softball teams. That was our poll question of the day. Who's going to win it? What do the masses say?
Well, it's funny because much like how I came on your show, it started and ended with an even 50-50 split. So
see, we didn't try to persuade one way or the other. We just played neutral the whole day.
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
Right. There you go. Okay, well, thanks to all who voted on X and on Facebook. Who wins tonight, the Pels or the Lakers?
If you're asking me personally, I think it's going to be the Lakers.
Personally, I'm asking you. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So so you and Dawson both say the Lakers, and I say the Pels. Mikey Matuk said the Pels. So we'll see. Thanks to all of our guests for making the effort, traveling over here and joining us. Bill Franquez, Doug Thompson, they were awesome. Mikey Matuk was terrific. Paul Mainieri. I got to talk with Dawson Iserlow, talk some hoops there, so that was terrific. No show tomorrow, correct?
Correct. We will have
Astros.
The Astros.
Okay. Well, we'll have all the coverage on all the other shows of LSU baseball. We'll have the softball. We'll have the Pels and all that stuff. So, Clint, thank you for manning the ship back in the FCO Development Studios. Until next time, I'm Jordy Hultberg from Pluckers Wing Bar. It's been fun. AFR is next. So long, everybody.